That's right. It is Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast. Yeah.
Another wrestling podcast! Woo, woo, woo! The cream of the crop!
Nobody does it better.
They make sure you and Booty,
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
It's time for... another wrestling podcast.
Oh my God!
We are taking over.
Drink it in, man.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
And if you're not down with that, then he's got two words for ya!
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
AWP, another wrestling podcast.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm Credo.
And I'm Angry Cooter.
We are the Social Assassins.
And as always, we're just calling it how we see it.
That's right. Well, guys, girls, children of all ages, welcome to episode 142. Cooter, we have a very special guest today. Straight out of the barbershop, baby, and on to another wrestling podcast. We have Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Oh, yes. One of my all-time favorites. Used to love that show, The Barber Shop. Had some classic moments on there. This is going to be a great interview.
And I'm watching my back today because you better not be sweet chin music. You better not super kick me through the barbershop window.
Play glass window. Yeah, that's right.
We're not breaking this up just yet. But, guys, girls, if you're listening in the Poughkeepsie area, Brutus is going to be the special guest referee at the Hudson Valley Wing Fest at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center from 5 to 9 on Saturday, January 28th. And then he'll also be at the Hooters in Wethersfield, Connecticut at the Royal Rumble Party from 7 p.m. and on. There's no cover charge, but there is limited seating available. Meet and greet information, tickets available at freewebstore.org/captains-corner. Be sure you head on over there. Say hi to Beefcake. Tell him AWP sent you. It's going to be a good time. Now, before we get into it, AWP's up for some awards, and we can't do it without each and every one of you out there. So if you're listening to the show, head on over to WrestlingRadioAwards.com. We're up for Show of the Year. We're up for Male Interview of the Year with Santino Marella. We're up for Female Interview of the Year with Mandy Leon. And up for Media Interview of the Year with the Honky Tonk Man.
And you know what's so interesting about all of these episodes that were nominated?
What's that?
I'm not in any of them.
But that doesn't mean you can't not vote. I mean, we got to rock the vote, though, right, guys? Girls, take your time out. Pause the show. Head on over to Wrestling Radio Awards. And hopefully next year, Cooter will be involved as far as... Well, you're still involved for Show of the Year. You made the Show of the Year, so you've been a part of this show for half of the year, so it's definitely a part of the Show of the Year. So,
all right, fair enough.
You guys can vote daily. You can vote daily, whether it's on your phone, on your computer. Head on over to Wrestling Radio Awards. Vote for AWP.
Vote daily. Let's see if we can get some of these awards in our favor here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. So if you guys aren't going to subscribe to us or like us or follow us, at least head over to WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Vote daily. They're going to have a show at the end of the month, and we'll see if we won or not. But, Cooter, let's get right into the week that was, shall we? The Undertaker appeared on Raw. Remember when he appeared on SmackDown and he said there was going to be consequences for them losing? Well, they forgot all about that. So now he's on Raw, and he's entering himself into the Royal Rumble. What do you think about this? Is the dead man on his last ride, shall I say? I mean, is this just him touching all the bases before going on?
I see what you did there, last ride. You went old school there. Oh, shit. I really don't care. Listen, The Undertaker, it's a big name. You put him in the Rumble. It adds some intrigue, but if they have him win, I am seriously going to just sit here and bitch and moan like I always do. What can I do? If he wins this Royal Rumble, there's going to be a lot of people like, All right, what's the point of that?
I know. I just from all the places, all the things in motion, all I'm seeing is that this is the last tour. So I think we're just getting Taker in as many places as we can get him until he retires. I'm thinking WrestleMania is going to be the end for him. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see him lasting that much longer. I mean, he's about due to turn in those boots, right? I don't know.
I don't know. The rumors were that, you know, they wanted to do Taker and Cena, and that's probably not going to happen just because.
You saw Braun looking at him, right, on the monitor.
Yeah, there was that. And then there was, you know, rumors that, you know, if Cena wins the belt from AJ Styles and Undertaker wins, it'll be Undertaker versus Cena for the belt. The only problem is apparently Cena's landed another big movie role that'll start filming after Mania. So why would you have the Undertaker lose if he's, you know, you're not going to have him win. He's not going to, you know, defend the title after Mania because it's going to take him like a year and a half to recover.
Well, do you
and
think
if Cena leaves, you know, then who's going to defend the belt?
If that happens and he wins it, he retires on Raw the next night, gives up the championship, and then, I don't know, they have a new tournament. But still, I mean, do you think he would do that? Do you think he's the kind of guy that would want to go out as winning the championship than just giving it up the next night and quitting? Or do you think he'd want to, you know, ride into the sunset with a loss and, you know, pass that torch kind of a thing?
I think everybody, they always said, and I think Austin said this, is you always go out on your back. That's the way to go out. And my question for you, though, you know, Braun Strowman is being booked very nicely right now. He's having good matches with smaller guys. Guys like Seth Rollins. Guys like Sami Zayn. It's a nice contrast of styles. We've seen Undertaker against these big bastards throughout his whole career. And every time we see something like this, whether it be an Undertaker versus a Mark Henry, it's always a snooze fest. I mean, you know what I'm getting at here. If we're going to get one more Undertaker match, maybe two, wouldn't you want it to be against people who you've always wanted to see him be against as opposed to putting somebody over? Because he's already put over Brock at Mania. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's like,
yeah, I hear you. I mean, ever since that streak died, it's kind of like, okay, his match with Bray was not that it was bad, but it was like it had no meaning to it. You know what I mean? And out of that match, I thought Bray should have won. But, you know, now you have him going against, if anything, you know, it should have been Sting versus Taker. But that ship has sailed. Now you should probably be having Cena versus Taker to let, you know, hit the dead man lose and ride off into the sunset. But that's probably not going to happen. Having him go against Braun, I mean, if he goes against Braun, then Braun better win. I mean, I don't want to see this 55, whatever how old he is, winning any more matches. I mean, it's beyond necessary at this point in his career. I mean,
yeah, but don't you think that match would suck, Carino? I mean, listen, Braun is a monster. He's doing very well against younger talent. You know, that's the difference. You put an old man in there against. And I don't give a shit how big The Undertaker is. You put him in there against Braun Strowman, you know, he's likely to, you know, break his hip in five different places just looking at him.
I know. Man, I don't know.
You think he brings the Christmas tree to the match?
Yeah. You know, this whole thing, though, I mean, I love the build-up for Braun, but at the same time, I'm like, with The Undertaker, what's left in the tank for him? Like, what could he possibly do that I would want to see, if you will? And I mean, the only thing I think, like they said, that people have been talking about would be just a match against Cena, have that as his last match, and that's it. Because A, it's one of those things, okay, whoever beats Taker, you get that rub, right? And if I wish they would have saved that for the streak, but Brock wins it, and then Goldberg beats him, and it's almost like if the streak never mattered. But
yeah,
there's really nothing to get from the Taker beating him now at this point, but if you do beat him at Mania, you could be the only other person to beat him at Mania. I mean, that's just like another thing, but I don't know. I don't know what you do with the dead man on his way out, pretty much.
Moving along, Credo. Chris Jericho is now on the list
of United States champions.
Wow. Man, he's had every single championship in the WWE except the Cruiserweight Championship, I think. But, well, no, the women's.
Yeah, but that gut, that's not happening anytime soon.
No, but he's basically won all the titles you could win in the WWE as a single male's competitor, heavyweight competitor, whatnot. But it's amazing, man. For his career, what he's done, I mean, he's probably had a better career than most top guys ever had. Just the list of championships he's had, the first undisputed champion, you know, just the list goes on of everything he's won in the WWE and WCW and whatnot. So it's been crazy. I don't know. It's good. I don't see it lasting too long, but I think it's good. I think it's well deserved for the year that he's had. And then hopefully he does something with it. And, you know, a mid-carder can actually beat it off of him. Well, that sounds really bad. Could win it off of him.
Oh, easy.
Could win it. Always pick your choice of words when talking, kids. Always could
especially
win.
When you're talking to me, because I'm going to point that shit right out.
So hopefully it goes in the right hands. But now, long story short, is this foreshadowing? Are we going to see Roman Reigns win the Universal Championship now? Are they just getting that championship off him to make way for another one?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we don't want him holding up two belts. I mean, that would be – we got to make him look strong, but not too strong. I don't know. I'm going to say this. Forget Roman Reigns. Chris Jericho is timeless. He always came back not necessarily in the best, you know, shape, but, I mean, in terms of ring shape, the guy was always ready to perform at a high, if not top level. I mean, just amazing. From day one that I've seen him, I've always been impressed. And – He never misses a step. He's timeless, dude.
No, of course. Well, hopefully he does something with it. And, you know, I think whoever wins it off of him really needs to be a mid-carder and get that rub as far as the win goes. Because, I mean, leave it in the mid-card. I mean, granted, I think it's perfect on Jericho where he is. He's not, you know, he is kind of main eventing in a way. But at the same time, he's not, you know, where he's not. They're not going to put I don't think the Universal Championship on him or whatnot. So I think it's in a perfect place, and hopefully, you know, he gives more prestige to it than Roman Reigns could do with not even defending it every week and whatnot. So regardless, it's a good. We can agree that it's a good times here. But you know, there's a big tournament this weekend, Cooter. And without getting into it, I didn't even know half these guys on here. I'm not going to pretend that I do. It's the United Kingdom title tournament. It's going to be for 2 days. What do you think about this, Cooter? Are you excited? Are you excited to see yet another show coming to the network just on UK wrestlers, or what's going on in your mind with this?
Honestly, I really am, just because a lot of the a lot of the talent that we've seen coming from England, just grapplers, and that's always been the style that I've always liked the most. Some people like the high flyers. I've always really liked that old school grappling.
Now we get towards Mania or the Night of Champions or whatever other pay-per-views. Do you think we're going to see UK title matches on WWE pay-per-views or WrestleManias or anything like that? Do you think it's just
question. You know, I never really gave that any thought. As far as I was concerned, I would just thought it was going to be a one-off type of thing. I didn't realize that this was going to be a title that was going to be defended on a television show, you know, on the network. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. I mean,
it's going to be a big weekend. Another tournament to kick off 2017. So one of many maybe this year. I don't know if they're going to have this tournament. Maybe I heard a women's tournament. And if they have another Cruiserweight tournament, it's going to be the year of tournaments. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. But either way, that's happening this weekend. So stay tuned to that. There's going to be a lot going on. A lot of guys you never heard of. Some guys you did. And, well, either way, it's just more programming for you on the network for $9.99.
Moving along, though, let's talk a little NXT, something I'm really excited for. Because I've been watching the last few weeks. And those Australian bitches, they're sexy as fuck, though, Creed. Oh, my God. Peyton Royce and Billy Kay are just, you know, taking over this women's division. And they, on this week's episode of NXT, attacked Asuka outside of, you know, the building prior to the taping. They beat the shit out of her. They got it on tape, blah, blah, blah. Asuka comes down to the ring after these two win a tag match and tries to attack Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, only to get saved by Sanity's own Nikki Cross, or so we think. She just basically beats the shit out of everybody. And Asuka kind of got a beat down too, Credo.
Well, you know, this is the whole thing, is that they really haven't had anybody to really step up in the women's division. I mean, granted, there have been a lot of girls coming and going, but, you know, they really haven't focused on anybody. So this is kind of like, I would say, the first batch of girls they're kind of testing the waters with, if you will, to see how the crowd likes them, who could be a possible next women's champion. I don't know. Do you see Asuka losing this championship anytime soon, though?
I think she needs to, quite honestly. I mean, she's been undefeated since she's been here. I mean, that's literally over a year that nobody has beat her. And I often wonder if some of the four horsewomen were maybe stayed down there a little bit longer outside of Bailey. If we had a Sasha Banks or a Charlotte down there, would Asuka have taken a loss? Because, you know, the talent pool for the women's division, it was a little thin and in a rebuilding phase. Now, they've done a great job with Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. Nikki Cross looks like an absolute beast, like, my God. And don't forget, you still got Ember Moon there, whatever the fuck her name is, and waiting in there. So everyone's always worried when people go up from NXT, but they've done a very good job at restocking the shelves, my friend.
Have you seen this Perry Saturn video making its way around the internet? He published a video about his health problems, and he said about in a week or two he'll be homeless. He has a GoFundMe page up right now, and he's looking for people's help. Poor guy, man. Have you seen it?
Yeah, that looks pretty brutal. I mean, he looks like complete shit. He sounds like shit. I legitimately felt really bad. I mean, the guy literally was almost near tears at the end, and, you know, that's just something he doesn't want to do in front of people.
Yeah, and it's on GoFundMe.com/PerrySaturn. You can see the money he's raising for it if you guys want to help him out. But hey, man, you know, this is the thing with a lot of these wrestlers, is that, you know, they do this for a living. They're on the road all the time, and, you know, unfortunately, they don't get the kind of money that you think they're getting. And, you know, shit happens, I guess, sometimes. It's unfortunate, but I don't know.
Yeah, definitely wish him the best, man, and the best of luck. I mean, you don't wish that on anybody.
Of course.
You don't hope that for anybody. It's just a shitty situation.
Yeah. Now, you know, last thing I want to talk to you real quick about the week. John Cena, he came back.
Ugh.
Do you think he's burying new talents? Because, I mean, now we have Corbin, to where the man's been getting wins. They've been packaging him really good. But now, you know, do you think they were just doing that to kind of get Cena, over a little bit before facing AJ Styles again at the Rumble? I don't even know how to put it.
Let me explain something to you, all right? We all love the John Cena U.S. title open challenge. But at the end of the day, what a lot of people are failing to realize, that look at the guys he beat in that run. It was all up-and-coming guys from NXT. Your Sami Zayn's, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to run the list because, you know, everybody who is a wrestling fan knows what the fuck I'm talking about. This could have been done very differently, to where John Cena can somehow get a win and Baron Corbin doesn't look weak losing clean to a guy who hasn't wrestled a match since fucking SummerSlam. That's what the fuck I'm talking about. This shit is so annoying. We build guys up, we build them up, we put them through all this training, we give them great characters, we get them a following, and then what do? We feed them to Cena so he beats them clean. What's the point of that? Why can't we have an AJ Styles, who is fucking ringside for this match, have some kind of schmoz and get Corbin disqualified? Corbin loses, fine, but he doesn't look weak losing to a guy who hasn't wrestled in 6 months.
You know, I have no idea what they're doing. I think they're definitely packaging up Corbin for a big year. I could actually see him winning a championship or two in 2017. But at the same time, Cena, man, I love you, but start putting the other guys over. Start paying back to the business and helping build the next generation, because your foot is already out the door, even though you're not going anywhere because you love it so much, and I understand that. But at the same time, there's other guys that you can't really have the business continue without, newer superstars. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things going on. But, yeah, I hope they break that a little bit this year and start getting more guys going over Cena than Cena going over them. So, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it'll be Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox.
Now, joining us right now, we have Brutus the Barber Beefcake. But before he gets in the studio, I want to remind everybody in the Poughkeepsie area, the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, on Saturday, January 28th, he will be the guest referee at the Hudson Valley Wing Fest in Poughkeepsie at the Civic Center. He's also going to be at Hooters in Weatherfield, Connecticut, for a Royal Rumble party on Sunday, January 29th, from 7 o'clock. Guys, this is Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
And it's Wing Fest, dude. Have you ever done the Wing Fest, Greedo?
I never have. Listen, I'm going this year.
Wings, beer. You're a man when you leave that motherfucker. You are a man.
Well, we're going to speak to a man right now who's cutting and strutting his way on into the studio. Right now, here's Brutus the Barber Beefcake. All right, joining us today is a former WWE Tag Team Champion, the man who ended the perfect streak, a man who will be cutting and strutting his way into Poughkeepsie on January 28th to be a special guest ref at the Hudson Valley Wing Fest, but he's here today first. Please welcome Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Brutus, man, how's everything going?
Hey, brother, it couldn't be better, man, and 2017 is going to be my year.
Before we get to the event you're going to be coming up here for, let's go back to where it all started, if you will. WrestleMania 3, Roddy Piper versus Adrian Adonis in a hair match. Piper wins. You come out, you hand him that little battery-powered razor, but he says, no, you do it. Now, what's going through your head now? Because you're in front of 93,000 people. Can you take us back to that moment real quick?
Well, actually, yeah, I was out at the ring a little before the end, though, actually, because there were some things going on there, a little kabuki. So I went out to actually give Piper a hand and kind of turn the tables a little bit in, so he could go ahead and finish that match with Adrian. And then, bam, I came back out on the end, yeah, to give him the clippers, to give him the clippers to do the head shave. And because Adrian and I had some history there, he gave it back to me, and let me tell you something. There was 93,000. There was over 100,000 people documented in that place, brother. Let me tell you something. And it was shaking. Just the rumbling of the crowd was so loud, it was deafening. And I went to try to shave Adrian's hair. It was so nasty and greasy and matted that nothing would work. It wouldn't work. These little battery powered clippers had no power, and I was freaking out, and I yelled at him to get me some scissors, and you'll watch, and then all of a sudden you'll see him throw some scissors in the ring, and I grabbed scissors and I started cutting with scissors, and then I finally I got the shaver thing back up, and I guess I figured out a different way to try it, and I cut the hair cleared out of it, and just, I got it to work a little bit, and I mean, I was seriously panicking for a few seconds when I couldn't get the clippers to work.
I couldn't imagine, you know, just in a regular attendance, but probably one of the biggest, you know, attendances ever for an event. I couldn't imagine being there in front of all those people trying to do that. So it had to be gut wrenching, I guess.
It was a rush, though. It was an honor, a privilege, I mean, it was a time in wrestling that will never probably come again.
Yep. Now, after WrestleMania III, a few weeks later, you know, they hand you a white coat. They say you're the barber. I understand you weren't too happy about that because, you know, what was it, like 2 or 3 years or so, we had Brutus Beefcake, and now you're the barber. How did that make you feel when that whole transition happened just because of that one moment at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, and I was not let in on this decision whatsoever. I was told ahead of time. And they handed me this coat, say you're now the barber, and I went nuts. I was completely upset. Over three years of wrestling all over the country, top matches with Hogan and all kind of people, and now you're going to change my name, like my gimmick, everything. When I'm on fire, doing more business than I've ever done, you know, and like anybody else was doing at the time, I mean, was right there with any top guy ever, and I was still a young guy in the business at this point, up and coming, and I mean, right up there on the top. It's the top of the top, and I couldn't understand it, and actually, Hogan was the one who pulled me aside and said, wait a minute, maybe we can make this work for us. I said, how? This barber thing, there's nowhere to go with it. We don't, you know. And he said, well, what if every time you go to the ring, Brutus, you cut somebody's hair? And I said, wait a minute. You know what? That might just be crazy and work. He said, well, then that's what we're going to do. And he went back to Vince. And he made it how he helped to make it happen. I got him, you know, credit where credit's due. But it was all on me to recreate myself once again here. I recreated Bruce Beefcake. I was pulling a rabbit out of the hat, changed my look completely, and everybody went bananas. I came out, and it was the hottest thing ever. Who is this good-looking guy? And it was Dizzy Ed Hogan. Everybody knew me as or whatever. Dizzy Ed Hogan. Sure. Bam, Brutus Beefcake. And then all of a sudden it's got, now you're the barber. And bam, I came up with the idea after going out to the arena with them little scissors in my hand in front of 22,000 people. I was like, this is terrible. It's so not visual. People can't see it. This is ridiculous. I came up with the idea. I got the hedge clippers, wrapped the handles up, brought him to the arena, went out there, and everybody went back. And it just, you know, took it to the next level, and it wound up being bigger than anyone had even ever imagined. And I mean, you know, and it's great because I am the one and only barber in the wrestling world.
That's right. Now,
and it's just, that's special.
You know? Definitely.
Once again, I'm honored. I worked my butt off for it. I just recently retired from the ring after 40 years. And so, what else?
Sure.
What else are you going to do?
Now, how pissed off did these guys get that about how much hair you were taking off each match? Did they get worried about, oh, man, I have to fight Brutus tonight. He's going to be cutting my hair or something, right?
Oh, man. Well, it was, you know, it wasn't really negotiable, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, believe me, there was some issues over the years. There was a lot of guys that took exception. And there were, you know, there was some tears going down and some of the, and crying going on after matches. But most of the time, everybody was pretty good about it. And especially the guys that really were my friends and worked with me on it. I would clip this or clip that, and it wasn't a life-ending situation. But the guys that made a big deal out of it and tried to, you know, make it hard on me, I made it hard on them. I'd give them that buzz cut right up the middle of their head, so they had no choice but to shave their heads.
Definitely. Now, if we could go back a little bit, you know, on July 4th, 1990, you were in a boating accident. You fractured every bone in your face. As a wrestler who makes a living every day to be on the road and in the ring, without getting into the whole story, because, I mean, I don't want to get you too far into it, but what just went through your mind, I mean, as far as your career after this happened? I mean, did you just think, man, it's completely over? Or how did you feel after this all happened?
Yeah, it was 16 hours of surgery. Oops. Nobody said I would survive. The doctors did not give me 10% chance of making it through, really, honestly. In 16 hours, you have no idea how long that in surgery, somebody who's under who has head injury, potential brain damage, potential spinal damage. it's insane. The Lord, had another plan in store for me. And the fact they said, absolutely no way would I ever be able to go back to wrestling. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And as far, you know, when I going through my mind, my life, I just, when the last 2 years before that, both of my parents had passed away, and I was going through a horrible divorce from my first wife, basically losing a business and two homes and $1 million. And I would, let me tell you something, I was not in a good place. Mm-hmm. I was distraught. I was horrified, depressed. And now, after losing everything that was dear to me in my life and my and livelihood I'd worked 10 years for, mm-hmm. and now my career is gone. So coming back from that was impossible.
Sure.
And I did it.
No, you definitely did. I mean, I was so happy, too, to see you return. In 1993, you returned, and dare I say, you opened up shop as well with your talk show, The Barbershop. What was it like to have your own talk show now? Because now, you know, you're back on your feet. You're back in the ring. After a few years of that happening, you know, you finally came back home. What was it like to have one of the most famous talk shows ever, that I might add, too, in the history of WWE?
Brother, I want to thank WWE for giving me the opportunity. You know what? Nobody felt I could do it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this was no scripted thing. They handed me an outline. I had bullet points going into this thing. The reason it got on fire was so people loved it because Brutus just went out there and was Brutus. Mm-hmm. I didn't come in there and try to remember some rehearsed lines that some writers from California know nothing about the wrestlers, but they're trying to tell me what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a professional. I spent my life to this business, and I went out there, and these are guys I know and respect and work with, and just went out there and had fun with it. And man, it just caught on. I'm sorry it had to end the way they ended it. It was kind of very. I hate even to think about it because it's really depressing. The whole end to it. So I try not to even dwell on that part at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to remember the best part of this is, you know, next to Piper's Pit, it was definitely the best thing for any kind of talk show that ever hit the WWE screen, you know, and I like to be, and a lot of people have put me right up there with Piper, and that's an honor. Piper, you know, it was my idol. You know, he's a little older than me, just a little bit, and started just a little ahead of me. I started wrestling in 1976, 77. And so, you know, it's these guys, you know, guys are inspired. Everybody takes a little bit from everybody else.
Definitely.
You know, and that's, you know, what you do.
Now, if we fast forward just a little bit, you also spent some time in WCW. Most notably for me is the Disciple in the NWO. Now, you look to be in better shape at that time. I mean, don't get me wrong. You were in great shape your whole career, but you just looked a little bit leaner. You had that beard. People didn't recognize you at first. How did it feel to just totally just be somebody else? I mean, because you weren't Brutus the Barber Beefcake anymore. You know, you came out the Disciple with the beard. You totally look different. How did that feel just to do a three, you know, just to turn your character, turn just who you were around, basically?
Well, brother, let me tell you, the honest truth is they were giving me trouble. I'd been the Butcher. I'd been the Booty Man. I'd been the Zodiac. We've done these different things. They couldn't land on anything and want to go with it. Why? I don't know. Disciple, they said, we can't Brutus. Everybody knows it's Brutus. We can't repackage him. So once again, I said, is that right? Okay. What you got to do is tell me I can't do something,
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to prove you wrong. And I did. I came back to Florida, trained with Hogan, lost 40 pounds. Grew my hair out long with the beard, got the outfit, the whole deal, walked into WCW, Not a single person had a clue who I was.
Wow.
All they could do was wow, 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 wow. This is great. Wow, wow. Then when the guys found out it was me, then of course. Then you get some of the jealousy factors going, Boz, it's Hogan's friend, blah, 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 blah. Brother, I won that. Everything I got was on my own merits because I looked better than he did. I looked better than any of those guys did.
Definitely. I wish it was a great time, especially that era with the NWO happening. Yeah, if we even fast forward some more, too, in this day and age, everybody's watching wrestling through streaming devices, whether, you know, it's a network or whatnot, WWE Network. You actually also appeared on the Edge and Christian show last year. How is that to reprise Brutus the Barber Beefcake a little bit and be on their show for, you know, the fun times they had?
It was great. They called me. I said, I would love to come on the show. We got out there. I mean, they handed me, they had sent me an original script. Then a follow up and a follow up that day. And, you know, and I took it and I read it over once and I looked at it. Brother, I am not the scripted kind of guy. I have done multiple movie parts and television series and shows and everything. So remembering lines is something I can do if I have to. I mean, it was hardly the way I work. And actually we did a lot of ad libbing on that show. And we recorded a bunch of footage and they were able to, you know, when they put it together and they said, you know, they loved it. And most of it really, the stuff was you know, extras ad-libbing and just being Brutus once again, you know, with those guys and it works.
It was great. I understand too, you have a book coming out. Well, what could you tell the fans about that and when could we expect it possibly?
Well, I'm hoping to see it by June, July. I mean, fairly soon. Look for it fairly soon. BrutusBeefcake.com. Mm-hmm. And it's really going to be an incredible story. I don't want to give anything in it yet, but
sure.
I mean, the accident, there's going to be, you know, young Brutus. And then, up to the present day did you happen to see the, Where Are They Now that they just did on me?
Yes. I was watching that. It was really good. Really good.
Incredible. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're excited. There's been a lot of talk about Hall of Fame this year. They're just starting to announce guys. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I'll tell you,
it'll be this year.
Yeah, sure. I mean, from the fans to your ears, man, you're definitely a fit for the Hall of Fame, and we hope it's sooner rather than later. So we're fingers crossed too. We're hoping to get in.
It sounds great, man. I'm looking forward to it. I love to see the fans. I hope that everybody will come out, say hi to Brutus, get a picture, and hang out. And love to meet you.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you're going to be in Poughkeepsie on January 28th. You're going to be the special guest referee at the Hudson Valley Wing Fest happening in the Mid-Hudson Civic Center from 5 to 9. It's a Saturday. Now, Poughkeepsie, Mid-Hudson Civic Center, I've seen you there plenty of times. You guys used to be there a lot of times back in the 80s. I believe you recorded The Land of a Thousand Dances in there and many TV shows. So a lot of things have happened in there. And a little fun fact, a little fun hair fact for you. That's where Andre the Giant actually lost his hair to Big John Studd in a match. So it's a little fun memory for it. But do you ever remember working in Poughkeepsie? Because, I mean, you guys did a bunch of TV tapings there, and just being on the road after a while, Poughkeepsie was kind of a place, I guess, you guys hung around for a few days just to get all these tapings done. Was that kind of a relief from you to not have to be on the road while you were in Poughkeepsie?
Poughkeepsie, I'm certain the first time Bruce PK walked into Poughkeepsie, walked in there, Arnie Skolin, who I'd known since, and this was late 83, 84 when Bruce came in. I'd known him since 78, so he'd known me 4 or 5 years. And I walked in there, it totally changed my look. I had come through New York earlier in the year on my way to Austria, wrestling over there, and made a deal with Vince. And when I came back, I had cut my hair off short dyed it black, dieted down about 20 pounds and lost weight, and walked in, shook hands with Arnie Skoll and introduced myself as Brutus Beefcake. He looked at me and didn't have a fucking clue who I was. And I sat in the dressing room with guys like George Steele and Mr. Fuji and people for a couple of hours. And then finally, George Steele jumps up and says, "Who the hell are you?" And I said, "It's me, Dizzy," because they knew me as Dizzy Hogan, Boulder, you know, Dizzy Eddie Hogan, whatever his name. And I go, "It's Dizzy." And Mr. Fuji jumped up out of his chair. And back then he's walking around with the cane and everything. He jumped up out of his chair and chased me around the dressing room going, because he was upset because I ribbed everybody in the dressing room so good. Nobody knew who I was and until George Steele finally caught on. And then the place was just going nuts. And it was a great time.
Well, the fans, I know Poughkeepsie, I like to call the capital of pro wrestling. There's definitely going to be a lot of fans out there to meet you on January 28th, but you're also going to be at the Hooters in Wethersfield, Connecticut for a Royal Rumble party on Sunday, January 29th, starting at 7. No cover charge, but limited seating available. Are you excited to meet your fans out there in Hooters in Wethersfield?
Oh, man, I got a history with Hooters, man. Hooters was started and founded in Clearwater, Florida, where I grew up. And I know the owner, Ed Girossi, of the first Hooters. And I go way back. I'm surprised I'm not even on their wall somewhere as a picture of Brutus Beefcake, probably. But, the owners of the original Hooters are personal friends of mine. So wow. Hooters is all a place that, as you know, is near and dear to my heart. Because it's a hometown boys done good, and now they're national, and they've taken it everywhere, and it's always a lot of fun at Hooters. They got great people and great food.
That's it. Bruce, I could talk to you all day if I could, but we barely scraped the surface. I really appreciate taking out the time today. Once again, for everybody looking up for the information for the meet and greet, head on over to freewebstore.org/captains-corner. You'll find all the information there. Bruce, man, thank you so much for joining us. And lastly, people can find you on brutusbeefcake.com, right?
Yes, you bet, man. And all the updated, we just got this, it's a new site, so it'll be continually updating and getting better and better and better over the coming months with merchandise and the new book and all kind of cool stuff for the fans.
All right, great. Well, once again, we thank you so much for your time, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Today's show is brought to you by...
This is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle. And you're listening to another wrestling podcast in association with CelebVM. Order a personal video message from me and many other wrestlers and celebrities now. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Get a personal video message for yourself or as a gift for someone else. For personal connections, shout-outs, birthdays, proposals, weddings, and much more. Enter your details about yourself so the celebrity can record a personal video message especially for you, including details such as your name, age, birthday, hobbies, or whatever else you include. As soon as the video has been recorded, you'll get an email with your link so you can share it on social media or download and keep it. Celebrities record videos as and when they can, usually within 2 weeks. But if you want a video for a specific date and it does not look like it will arrive in time, you can cancel it and get an instant refund at the click of a button. There are hundreds of celebrities to choose from and many more joining every day. Search by category or genre, buy a gift voucher, get updates and offers, and encourage your favorite celebrities to join so they can connect with fans in a fun and unique way, raise money for their charities, and much more. So order your video now for yourself or for someone else.
Celebrity Video Messages and Another Wrestling Podcast team up. Be sure to head on over to celebvm.com/AWP.
Promo of the week.
You know, Thanksgiving night, the Survivor Series. What better of a time could there be for the ultimate challenge? What better time could there be to have a man like the Ultimate Warrior for the ultimate partner? You know something, Honky Tonk? There's unfinished business here that's long overdue.
And you have chosen the wrong man, the outlaw Rob Bass, to stand beside you. So it looks like it's going to be too bad for both of you boys, because there'll be no home run hits this night. There'll be no foul balls, brother. There'll only be you two and us and the rest of our partners in there all together.
Some kind of strategy still has to be done. I got the spaceship loaded with all the goodies, and we're headed out with the raft of the toxic waste power. I'm talking about the power of the ultimate warrior. I'm talking about the blue blaze on the left hand. I'm talking about Don the Rock Morocco, 300 pounds of solitaire, ready to spread it around on Thanksgiving Day. I'm talking about you, Honky Tonk Man. I'm talking about taking you up into the cold and the darkness, and you can feel it.
Once again, thanks to Brutus the Barber Beefcake for stopping on by. He had hedge clippers. Those were his tools of his trade, you know what I mean? there's been a lot of superstars throughout the years who've brought things to the ring.
They always had to have some kind of gimmick that, you know, went with their character. I mean, sure. All right. So Brutus was the barber, right? He had the hedge clippers.
He had the hedge clippers. We haven't really talked about this. I mean, we've talked about different gimmicks, you have a barber, you have a trash man, you got all these guys throughout the years. Everybody has a different gimmick, and with these gimmicks come, you know, little accessories, if you will. So you got the hedge clippers, man, and they were pretty brutal. You know what I mean? I'm saying he cut people's hair at the end of each match. Obviously, if he won, so that was part of Beefcake's arsenal. Let's talk about a lot of other things that people have brought to the ring, and you know, maybe some memories from them or whatnot. What else do you have besides?
Oh, one of my favorites of all time had to be Big Boss Man with that nightstick.
Brutal, man. Brutal.
Hilarious. He would just twirl that thing around, and, you know, it was that was almost better than watching the match, because he was so cool with that thing, man.
I would not want to get hit by it. But, yeah, definitely, the nightstick is classic. Big Boss Man's, even old school Boss Man and new school Boss Man definitely had his nightstick. So
it's true. And he had that black outfit on there when he was in the corporation. I remember that shit. Yeah,
that's right. How about a classic is the Jimmy Hart's megaphone. As annoying as it was of just hearing him yell in the megaphone during the matches, hey, man, they also used it as a tool to win some matches by tossing it in there and knocking guys out with it. So I always wanted a megaphone, though. Did you ever grow up just wanting a megaphone?
Oh, my God.
I always wanted one just because of him.
I can still remember that voice. Like, there would be times where he wouldn't use it, and you just wanted to choke little Jimmy Hart because his voice was so bad. And then it got louder because he would actually use the megaphone, and you just, oh, my God, stop. It was so perfect. But, yeah, you're right. They use that megaphone for everything. I remember when Earthquake used it to take out Andre the Giant's knee.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Well, the tools of the trade, if you will. You know, I mentioned briefly, too, Garbage Men. Duke the Dumpster Drosy always brought out a garbage can. I mean, come on. You're a garbage man, so you always got to have a garbage can. So it was perfect. You know, bring it. Even though it's a tool of his trade, it was still like a weapon to bring to the ring and whatnot. So it's you know, something else to bring to the ring. I don't know how much we can talk
about. Oh, you want to talk about bringing weapons to the ring. How many times in ECW did New Jack come to the ring with a shopping cart full of shit?
That was exactly why you wanted to see New Jack, just to see what he would wheel on.
Oh, my God. What ridiculous weapon is he going to hit you with today?
That was definitely a thing. It was like a grab bag of weapons, you know. It was like whatever they found. He had like certain things that he would bring out. Then it was just like anything maybe the fans brought, they tossed it in there. It was classic, man. That's exactly why you wanted to see New Jack back in the day, is just seeing what he would bring out of that garbage can. Or it was like a shopping cart with a garbage can in it and all that crap. So
Tibby's road signs, a staple gun, all sorts of shit. My God. Yeah, you know one that used to really annoy me, because I think it was just so overused, because a lot of people came to the ring with the kendo stick.
That's right.
I mean, three people in ECW alone, between you think Dreamer, Sandman, and that jerk off PJ Polacco or whatever is fucking just incredible. Yeah, that jabroni.
That's right. They, WWE, though, wasn't Steve Blackman walking around with a kendo stick?
Yes, I was going to say that, too. I mean, I said ECW alone.
No,
oh,
yeah.
God.
So, yeah, that's definitely a staple as far as tools of the trade go. I definitely have to have a kendo stick. I mean, when did you not see a kendo stick in ECW?
Oh, God.
But, you know, there's been so many things, and we're going to jump around back from the past to the present to the future, whatever. But, you know, how about that shock stick, the mount he had? I don't know what you call it, but it was like God. A big taser, but it was like, you know.
It's a cattle prod or cattle something.
Yeah.
God.
And seeing that as a kid, man, like, you didn't know what it, you know what I mean? Like, you knew that it, what it was doing. But seeing, like, people get shocked, like, I'm sure they weren't getting shocked. Even his
fast of course not. Yeah.
Fast forward, Scott Hall and them, they had the whole freaking thing they would bring to the ring too for Goldberg. That's how Goldberg lost his streak.
Oh yeah, with the taser. You know what's funny though is you look at the boss man with the nightstick and then you had the Mountie and his cattle prod, and then those two had that epic little match, the jailhouse match at SummerSlam. It was the cop versus the Mountie, and the loser had to spend the night in the New York City jail. And I'll just, those were some of the funniest vignettes post-match that I have ever seen.
Yeah, man. And, you know, there's been so many things, you know, even flags. Flags were definitely a part of a lot of guys' entrances as part of, you know, what they would have. I mean, Mr. Fuji would be waving the Japanese flag for Yokozuna.
Yes.
You had the Iron Sheik always bringing out the Iranian flag or whatnot, you know, waving it high. And
oh, my God, yeah. And then, okay, how about the Hart Foundation? Your boys, they're always carrying the Canadian flag there.
During the Attitude Era, too, man. Yeah, it was great. I mean, so flags have definitely been, you know, the biggest accessory as far as, you know, hey, this is what country I'm from or whatever. Hacksaw Jim Duggan would carry flags, even though he carried 2x4s too.
That's true. I didn't think of that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, all these little things you don't think about as far as, I mean, granted, you even have live animals from snakes to parrots back in the day. They don't really do that stuff today, but just all these accessories these guys
are. All right, here's one for you. Listen to me. The Million Dollar Man had multiple gimmicks. I mean, he had all those $100 bills, and he had Virgil.
Virgil was, yes.
He had a Virgil.
He had a manslave or manservant.
Can say that they had a Virgil? Well, yeah. Maybe his son, you know, years later, you know, Ted DiBiase Jr.
Sure, that's true, yeah. So, so yeah, it's getting that money, sticking in people's mouths. You have your own manservant. And you got your own championship belt that you made, the $1 million the belt. So, I mean, there you go right there. A man who knows how to bring some tools of the trade out.
Yeah, really. When you can't win a title on your own, just make one yourself. Just like Zack Ryder did with the Internet Championship.
That's right, man. You know, there's a lot of different championships. So, yeah, just besides being a champion, there's a lot of guys who actually just came out with, you know, like the $1 million belt you mentioned, the Internet Championship, even though Zach really never used it on TV, but he still used it to get himself over online and used that championship to make him, you know, the name that he was until Cena buried him. But even, you know, the other classic belts, he had the FTW belt that Taz had, the Smoking Skull belt. They even had a Brahma Bull belt that they never debuted, but they actually showed what it looked like recently on a YouTube show on WWE.
You just blew my mind with the Taz belt, though. The Fuck the World belt.
Yeah, man. FTW, baby.
Yes. My God. That's crazy.
It's fun because I'm just thinking, like, we never really listed off what these guys actually brought to the ring, and it's just amazing. There's a lot of different things throughout the years of what people, you know, really associated themselves with. So it's, you know, it's a whole grab bag gift, gifts of the world, I guess.
Does John Cena's Wonder Woman wristbands count as gimmicks like this or no?
Wristbands, yeah, man, accessories. So we are from wristbands giving to the fans. You can even go to sunglasses. Bret the Hitman Hart giving out his, like, futuristic glasses to the fans every time he came out.
Oh, so, such a tool bag.
Hey, man, I love those glasses. I was always hoping that I would be picked to don those shades from the Hitman himself.
I had to
pay my $20 or however much it cost at the merch stand just to buy them. I actually have my original ones from the 80s. I'm very proud of them. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of things.
Oh, my God. You just did not say that.
We could fast forward and jump back through time a little bit. I mean, even now, the list of Jericho, he's bringing it out during his matches, brings it out during a lot of the, you know, the interviews and whatnot. So that's kind of like a new thing.
The list of Jericho because you know what's on it? A bunch of stupid idiots.
You know, I'm waiting for the T-shirt that actually has the real, like, everything he's ever mentioned on it. You know, it's just like one long list of things. That'll be fun to see. Hopefully they think about that for the future.
Oh, and it makes some of the greatest stuff because there's compilation videos on YouTube of all the list of Jericho moments where he goes, "You've just made the list," from its inception to what literally happened on Monday.
I hope they're saving it,
they're
man.
Constantly updating. It's hilarious.
That's great. You know, even medals. Kurt Angle had, his Olympic medal. You had Owen Hart walk out with the Slammies. So some guys would always come out with their Slammies.
The two-time Slammy Award-winning Owen Hart.
Wait, but he never won them, right? Like, he just ran up on stage for them, right? So he never really won them, but he just stole them from people, right? I'm pretty sure he stole both of them.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that's your boy. That's Owen Hart.
So you got medals, people bringing out. I thought they were going to do something like that with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy all the time, but the first one broke the next night. And then the second one, they really just brought out once in a while. They didn't really touch it. So, things like that. Guys carrying out medals, little trophies, slammies.
How about this one?
Yeah.
How about Paul Bearer coming out with the urn?
The urn, man's classic. There's so many different urns, too, that he used. Remember the one that was, like, smoking? The one that had the light coming out of
it? The light coming out of it? That was so stupid. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Because that was the thing. The first one literally just had ashes in it, and I remember when Hogan used it to throw it in the eyes of The Undertaker to try to win the belt back.
Yep.
Every time they would get a new urn, it just got cheesier and cheesier.
You know, even thinking about the crowns, Jerry the King Lawler, Kings of the Ring, where they would, King Sheamus even had a crown and a scepter for a little bit.
Yeah, Macho King started that one, right?
Yeah, Macho King, man, from his coronation, crowns, scepters, they're all part of the show. These are like the staples, though, of like pro wrestling. I mean, you have the entrance music, you have the wrestlers, and then you have like their little gimmicks. They have the tools of the trade, I would call them, of what they were doing. Even Val Venus, let's think about Val Venus. He had the towel.
I mean, doesn't count. Come on.
He whipped it around and threw it out to the crowd sometimes. So, I don't know. Who knows? Could you think of him, like, doing something to that towel beforehand just to, like, rib people or, like.
I bet you did.
Just be that guy.
Probably, yeah. He had to be. Because, I mean.
I should have asked him that when he was interview.
Yeah, you've seen interviews with him. You know, he's
been on the show.
He's not exactly politically correct. He has no problem saying it how it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few loads got shot into a towel once or twice.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I'm a sick bastard, too. I mean, whatever.
Man, I complain about it now, but, I wish they had something better. But you have, the stupid timeshares from, the Cologne brothers.
You can't get enough of the Shining Stars, baby.
I'm not going to even get into them, but yeah. So I think even the classic thing too is beer. Now, granted, Steve Austin didn't always walk down with beer. He did on occasion to bring some beers down, or they had them down by the ring. And, it was just part of his gimmick. At the end of a match, he'd be drinking a Steve Weiser, drinking beer, had beer trucks, all that, that was a big part of the Attitude Era, just being able to drink beer on a program like that. That was like, hey, guys, this is past 9 o'clock now. We got beer on TV, so.
You're actually missing a very important one. Carmella's got a hell of a gimmick.
What's that?
She's got a tool of the trade. It's your boy James Ellsworth. He's a tool, right?
James Ellsworth rounds out the tools of the trade for the show. Man, I think we mentioned them all. If we didn't, please let us know. There's not too much of a big conversation you can have with this, but it's more of a reminiscing of things that have happened and just that they're pretty much a part of wrestling. I mean, when you think of megaphones, anytime you see somebody using a megaphone, all I think about is Jimmy Hart using a megaphone during wrestling.
Come on there, baby. Show them what you got, baby. Yeah.
Anytime I see anybody with a kendo stick anywhere, all I'm thinking about is the Sandman. You know what I mean? Like, all these things always relate back to wrestling. I'm trying to think if we even forgot anything. I mean, there's animals we've talked about, shock sticks, money, beer, lists, medals, awards, the list goes on and on. So, I mean, I think one thing that's really missing, we talked a lot about 80s gimmicks as far as tools, from the shock stick to the money. Well, they do flags today, but like the nightstick, the megaphone, the hedge clippers. Guys today, they really don't have much like that. I mean, nobody's carrying around big scissors. Nobody's carrying around megaphones. I mean, there's really not too many people today carrying around gimmicks, right? Is that something that's missing? Do you think it would add more to the shows if they had little gimmicks like this, like 2x4s. Nobody carries around a piece of wood, and it was just a piece of wood. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. I just thought of one.
What's that? It's
probably one of the worst ones. The model Rick Martel's perfume.
Arrogance.
Arrogance, that's what it was. Yes. Is stupid spray.
That's it, man. See, as simple as that, like that. Like, we don't see that today, you know what I mean? And I don't know. It's a shame. I wish we could make a list of wrestlers of who they are now and what they should be carrying around. I have no idea. That'd probably be a fun little segment. Maybe you could list off wrestlers and maybe we could say, hey, what should they be carrying to the ring? I don't know. But
about Finley Shillelagh?
Yeah, that too, man. That, see, like all these things, little things like that were missing. And, you know, as the time went on, though, they started getting more scarce and more scarce. And it's like, eh, we don't really need anybody to be carrying anything anymore. So, but there's little things here and there. But still, it doesn't feel like the same like it used to.
It's PG, you know. It's not like the days where Brian Pillman was pulling out his 9mm while he's laid up on his couch. We can't have those kind of gimmicks anymore.
That's it, man. It's been quite an interesting ride for tools of the trade in pro wrestling. I mean, these were their gimmicks, I guess, pretty much, you know, their tools. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Each and every week, we are another wrestling podcast.
That's correct. And for all you ring rats out there, don't forget to swipe right for Braun Strowman's Tinder.